thankful today for salvation, and I'm glad to have the privilege and opportunity to serve God. You know, He's been fair to me. Some folks want to talk about fairness and all. He's been fair to me. He's been good to me. And He's been a, you know, many times we say, you know, I wish we'd have done it sooner and got more serious sooner. And that's all that I'd have to say is that I wish I'd have done it sooner and gotten more serious a little sooner. So I thank the Lord for that. And I want to thank the Lord for all the mothers today. We already said that. But there's a special place, I don't know, special place that a mother has in the hearts of her children. She's there caring for them. There's a need that we have for our mothers. And so I want to give a special thanksgiving for all the mothers and all the sacrifices that you have made to rear your children and to do what you feel like the Lord would have you to do. I want to acknowledge that and encourage you. I want us to turn today, we'll maybe refer to mothers, but my message is not strictly about mothers, even though I have a whole lot that I could say about it. But I want to talk today about the Spirit of the Lord, the supply of the Spirit. If we were going to give a title to this message, it would be the supply of the Spirit. We'd like to turn to Philippians, the first chapter, and I want to do quite a bit of reading, starting at the 12th verse, Philippians 1, verse 12. If you have it, you can read it for us.
But I would.
I want you to understand this, brethren. The things which happened unto me, they have happened for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, in all other places. Many of the brethren in the Lord, they are waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention. They don't do it sincerely. They want to start something. They supposing to add an affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Now, he wasn't that concerned about why they were preaching it, or whether it was for contention or whether it was for encouragement. He just said, you know what? I want Christ to be preached. And that's the way that we have to look at it as well. As long as Christ is being preached and the trueness of Christ, what he is and what he can do, that's what's important, all right?
I therein do rejoice,
yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. It doesn't really matter. I want Christ to be magnified, and that should be our desire and design. Lord, I want you to be magnified. I want when people look at my life, I want them to understand that you are the major part of it, not me. I don't want to magnify who I am. I don't want to lift up who I am. I want to magnify the Lord, all right? For to me... Okay, where are you? Go ahead.
For me to live is Christ,
and to die is gain. Now, I want to bring out a few points here. We started the 12th verse. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul was in a lot of trouble. Paul was not one of those disciples or what you might say a fair-weather Christian or those, even what we have to deal with. Paul dealt with some things as he was preaching the gospel. People didn't like what he was preaching. They didn't like what he had to say. He had gone strictly against whatever he saw that wasn't right. He would speak against those things. And when he spoke against it, you don't make a lot of friends that way. But when people want to hear the truth of God's Word, that's really what you're preaching to. You're not preaching to people that don't want to hear it per se. That's not your core audience. Your audience is folks that you've got to preach the gospel to them and let the Lord do whatever it is that He wants to do with that. Do you know our responsibility is not to cut the truth of God's Word and water it down to the point that everybody can sip on it and everybody can drink it. It is for us to just tell the folks like it is. Lord, this is what the Bible is teaching. This is what the way that you have to live, and then give it to them. Now, we understand every one of us have been in places in our spiritual experience that we have come across some things that it would have been easier if I didn't have to do that. I don't really want to go that way, Lord. I don't really want, this seems like too great of a sacrifice, and I don't want to sacrifice to that extent. But the Lord lays it down in the Scripture, and when it's in the Scripture, our responsibility is to preach it. And our responsibility is to live it. Our responsibility is to make certain that, Lord, I am not changing what you said. I'm just saying, I am just the messenger. I am not the one that gave the message. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that gave the message, and our responsibility is to preach it like God gives it to us. Paul couldn't go and change it and go in another direction that he felt would be more satisfactory to the people and they would be more understanding. There is a reason that God gives His Word to men. And I've said it many, many times. The reason God gives His Word to men is because we have to digest it, we have to process it in our own mind, and then we understand as we give it out to folks that not everything that's written in this Bible is just easy for us to live and do, but we have God that is able to enable us. He's able to enable us to live it. And so we know that, and we understand that, and we live that way by the grace of God. So He says here, I want you to understand, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. How can you go to prison? This man is in prison. And the reason he's saying it, I understand that all these things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Can you say that with conviction in your heart, that all the things that have happened to you have happened for the furtherance of the gospel? Paul says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all places, in all the palace, and in all other places. So there are a few places that Paul had to deal with. One of the things for the furtherance of the gospel, prison. He had to deal with prison, didn't he? So he was in bond. And so the thing that happened, sometimes the things that happen to us, we don't quite understand, Lord, why do I feel like I'm bound in this? But it's for the furtherance of the gospel. How were those people that were in prison, or those people that carted him to prison, or whatever it is, how would they have heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ and seen a man under such duress and pressure go through what God would have him to go through in the way that God would have him to do? The Lord, he preached the message in prison. So you and I must be able to preach the message of God's Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what the circumstances that we are in, whatever the circumstances are in, we must be able to preach God's Word, the gospel. So in the prison, in the palaces, and in all places. So the Lord has us, maybe this man went from the lowest to the highest. He's preaching to kings. He's preaching the gospel to kings, and they're hearing about this man named Paul. May the Lord help us to be in a position where we can understand that the Lord wants us, no matter what our situation, whether we're in prison, whether we're on top at the bottom of the valleys, or whether we're at the top of the mountains, God wants us to understand that all of it is for, number one, our good, and all of it is for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He's not there, but He said that this all other places pretty much covers everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so He says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So what you are dealing with, what you go through as a saint of God, it affects somebody else. Somebody is watching you. Have you ever seen somebody go through some severe trial and you say, if they can do it, I can do it too? That we are able, you know, one of the things that we are afraid of is the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. And so as a result of that, we draw back from the unknown. But when we see that somebody is going through a difficult place in their lives, and we see that the grace of God, the supply of the Spirit supplies them with the grace that they need to go to prison, to go to the palaces. Some of us would rather go to the prison than we went to palaces, wouldn't we? Some folks are like that. But when we see that he's able to go through these things, he's able to be tortured, he's able to just maintain his integrity with the Lord and keep doing what the Lord would have him to do, they are emboldened to say, if he can do it by the grace of God, God can supply to me what I need to be able to do it as well. So he said, they're waxing confidence in my bonds, seeing me go through these things, that they're not afraid because they see the unknown. They see what might happen to them. They see what they might have to go through in order to preach the gospel. So they are confident in that. So I want us to understand that what you go through, whatever it is that you and I are going through, then somebody is watching us and it's affecting them either in a good way or a bad way. Lord help us. Have you ever heard about somebody preaching, somebody speaking evil of people that are supposed to be preaching the gospel? Oh, that's old Pastor so-and-so. Yeah, I know about him. I know what he's doing. Have you ever heard that? Folks, you're affecting people by the way that you live. Whether you're living right, you're affecting them. And if you're not living right, you're affecting them as well. All right? So, it says, and the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. And I know that this shall turn for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of God. So we want to talk a little bit about the supply of the Spirit of God. I know that this shall turn for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of the Lord. Do you know that it is your responsibility, for our responsibility, to pray for those that minister the gospel of Jesus Christ? And not only is it, now, when we say pray for those that minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, we're talking about those that are in preaching in the pulpit, but we're talking also that every one of us preach in some way. He says, go into all the world and teach the gospel, preach the gospel. That's you and that's me. So when we're praying, we're not only praying for them, but we're praying for ourselves as well. So he says, I know that as you pray for me, that it'll turn for my salvation through prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness and all, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So, the supply of the Spirit of the Lord. And I thought of it in this way. We're celebrating Mother's Day, right? And one of the things that I've noted is in a home where there is a mother that loves her family. You know what? Have you ever gone to the cabinet and when you're at home? Have you ever gone to the cabinet and looked in the cabinet and saw how much you brought in? The things that were out. Who did we go to and we asked, Mom, we need this, we need that. And what happens? She goes to the grocery store, she brings that in and makes certain that the house is supplied with everything that it needs to run efficiently, doesn't she? All right, so, and that's part of her responsibilities. Part of her responsibility is to manage the household, make certain that things are going, that everything that anybody needs in that house in order to be able to live decently, everything is supplied there. Well, in the same way, do you realize and understand that everything that you and I need to be able to live a righteous and a holy life and to go forth like God wants us to do, the Holy Spirit supplies that. He brings it in to our household, so to speak. He brings it into the services of the Lord. He brings it while we're doing our daily devotion. The Holy Ghost supplies us with everything that we will need in order to make it. All right? I believe the Lord wants us to understand it. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter how difficult things may become. It does not matter how easy things are. Do you realize that the Holy Ghost gives us everything that we need to successfully live a righteous and a godly life right here in this present world? We get that by the supply of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, all of us go through things sometime in our experiences where people do things that causes some problems with us, and we have to deal with it in some kind of a way. Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I need more of the grace of God because I can't handle what's happening in my life right now. It seems like this is just too much for me. And so what do? We go to the storehouse. We go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I need to be supplied with more grace. I need to be supplied with more power. I need to be supplied with more wisdom. Whatever it is that we need, the supply of the Holy Ghost has it. And I want us to understand that it's available to every one of us today. It's not just to a certain elite or just a select few people, a select group of people. It is to all of us by the help and the grace of God. All right. So let's see. Let us turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Start at the 31st verse. Romans 8, verse 31. Read it, please.
What shall we then say to these things?
What shall we say to all of these things?
If God be for us,
who can be against us?
He that not his own.
Okay, he didn't spare his own son. If God be for us, who can be against us? What you have to understand is that God is on your side. That you, if you are endeavoring by the grace of God to live the way God wants you to live, and to live a righteous and a holy life, and Lord, by the grace of God, God is on your side. It doesn't matter if the whole world stands against you. You and God can stand against the whole world. All right? If God be for us. Now, it's not saying that people can't be against us, but who can stand against us? Who can stand against whatever it is that you are facing if God is for you? All right? Let's read. He delivered him up for us all.
How shall he not,
by him, freely give us all things? How shall he not, by him, freely give us? So how much does it cost? How much does it cost that the supply? We go to the grocery store, it's going to cost us some money. We go to the gas station and we put gas in our tank to get us, to supply us enough gasoline to get us from point A to point B. That's going to cost us something, isn't it?
Yes.
But he said he freely gives us all things.
Yes.
So he said by him, he's going to freely give whatever it is that you need, saints of God.
Yes.
Whatever it is that you need, my friend, whoever you are.
Amen.
The Lord will freely supply that to you. All you have to do is ask him. Lord, give me what I need. Lord, I need some help here. Lord, the sister in Sunday school was talking about the Lord, telling her, listen, pray. She was getting ready to face a trial that for her was a very severe trial. It would have been a severe trial for any of us. But what if she hadn't prayed? And what did prayer do? Prayer supplied her with the grace and the mercy that she needed. And we don't even know what we need. We don't know what to pray for as we ought to pray. But listen, when the Lord lays on our heart to pray, our responsibility is to pray, and His responsibility is to give us what we need. Now, it would have been different if He said, pray, and you decide, I don't really need to pray. I don't know what's going to happen, but it really doesn't matter what's going to happen. Well, then whose fault would it have been when you get to the cusp of the trial and you don't have what you need in order to go through it? That's your fault. It's not God's. Because everything is available to us that we need by the help and the grace of God. Saints, I want to encourage you that way. Friends, neighbors, I want to encourage you that way, that what you need, God will supply. He'll freely give it to you. You need more grace? You need more love? We've been in places in our lives that we just, you know what, some folks are just hard to love, aren't they? They got bad attitudes. You don't want to be around them. All of us have been around people that we don't like to be around. And you know, I've had to pray for myself because I've been around some folks that just seem like they rub you the wrong way. What do I need from the Lord? Lord, you can supply me with what I need to be able to deal with these difficult people. All right? All right, so see, he says, if God be for us, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who is that person that can stand against us? What does it mean? If God be for me, I believe, if God be for us, whoever we are, who can stand, can be against us? Who can be against us and God and be successful?
Right.
Nobody.
Amen.
Saints, let's just stay in the hands of the Lord. Let's just... stay where the Lord would have us to stand. All right? He that spared not his own son. So he said, listen, he made a price for this. So in other words, what he's saying here is, I want to show you the price that I paid to stand with you, to give you the power that you need, to supply you with whatever you need. I want to show you the price that I did this for. He says, so he that spared not his own son, he gave up the most precious thing that he had for you, for me. That whatever we face, whatever deliverance we need, that he made it available to us. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, verse 3. If you have it, you can read it for us.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3.
Yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He's blessing the Lord. Blessed be the Father and our, of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Which according to his abundant mercy.
He's begotten us again
unto a lively hope
by the resurrection of Jesus Christ
from the dead
to an inheritance incorruptible
and undefiled
and that fadeth not away,
reserved in heaven
for you. Do you see what you have available to you? I've got whatever it is that I need in heaven. You know, and saints, I just want to say this to all of us. Some folks want to say that it's difficult to live a righteous life. But I want to say this. It's easier to live for the Lord than not. I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been on the other side. And then, you know, one of the things that I made a determination in my mind in my early years, I thought, I want to go to heaven, and I just don't know when that day is going to come. If I knew when it was going to come, maybe I could take a few more chances. It would be foolish for me to do that. But if I knew that on 2020, on Mother's Day of 2020, the Lord was going to call me home, that I'd have a little leeway, perhaps. But the Lord may call me home today. And what I want to make certain of is that I'm ready to go whenever it is that He calls me. And I live the kind of a life that He is pleased with. The Lord wants to be pleased with your life. You don't have to, the Lord is not requiring you to be me. He's requiring you to live to what you understand and what you know. And when you do that, that's good enough for the Lord. And it's not my responsibility to go and tell you what you are not supposed to do. It is God's responsibility, but when He tells you, your responsibility is to obey Him. And let me tell you, also what He will do, He will give you whatever you need in order to live that way. Whatever way He requires you to do it, He will give it to you. But what people, this is how I see it. A little baby boy that is running around has all what he needs to be a man, doesn't he? Nothing else is going to be growing on his body. He has everything as a little baby, as an infant, when he is born, he has everything he needs to mature into the man that he at some point will become, right? Now, in the same way, spiritually, we do not require that little boy to go out at 4 years old and get a full-time job and bring home a living like his father does, do we? At some point, he needs to do that. But right now, he needs to grow up and be a little boy. Play, get in trouble, push his trunks, get dirty. The teaching, all the things that we teach our sons and whatnot. Do you realize the Lord does the same thing for us? We supply that little boy with what he needs to be a boy. And we don't give him Barbie dolls. And he's playing with Barbie dolls and playing houses and all that. We teach him how to be a man, don't we? And why do we do this? We're teaching him, and when he comes out of the womb, we're teaching him how to be a man. Lord, help us to do a good job of that. Amen. Help us to know how to teach our children how to be a man. And we know what pressures to put on them and what pressures not to put on them. And when they become a little older, we put a little bit more pressure on them. We do a little bit more. We require a little bit more of them. Do you realize the Lord does the same thing? But you know, sometimes what we do, folks look at it and they say, well, you know what? This person has been saved for 35 years, and the minute I am born into the world, into the spiritual world, the minute I get saved, I am supposed to be like this 35 person that's been saved for 35 years. Let me tell you what we do, what you do have to do. You do have to stop sinning.
Well, that's hard, Brother Darrell. No, it's not. You don't like it anyway. Oh, yes, you get pleasure for a season, but you don't like it. And so all you really have to do is stop sinning, and then the Lord will mature you into the place that He wants you to be. Lord, help us. That's reasonable, isn't it? And He'll give you everything that we give that little child that he needs to develop properly. The proper love, the proper care, the proper instruction, the proper nurturing, whatever it is that that child needs to mature into an adult and to become a good, solid citizen, it is the responsibility of the parents, the mother, the father, to supply that, right? Well, it's the responsibility of our Father to supply it to us as we grow in the knowledge, grace, and knowledge. All right? Yeah, who are kept?
By the power of God.
By the power of God.
Through faith unto salvation.
Ready to be revealed in the last time. Yes. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That little boy, though he's going out and playing, and he's enjoying himself, isn't he? But then he comes in and he done something mama told him not to do. What's he going to get? He's going to get a spanking. Have you ever seen a child fall down in the middle of the floor in Walmart and start kicking and screaming? And mother says, one, one, two, three. My mother never said one, two, three. Ever. The time she said one, two, three, she was... the arm was swinging. You know, I think they'd have called CPS on our parents. They would have. But you know, them some good old parents. And they did. And listen, I don't regret nothing that they did. The one thing, they probably didn't give us enough. But what do? The Lord says, whom He loved, what does He do? He chastens. So what is the supply of the Spirit is that sometimes we need chastening, don't we? Sometimes a child needs a good, you know what, I've looked at children acting out, and I thought, oh, I wish that was my child. Have you ever said that?
Yeah.
I wish that was my child. I see how many times, I think our children fell on, I don't think they ever fell on the floor. We intercepted them before they got there. And when they did it one time, they weren't going to do it. They might have done it twice, but they didn't do it after that. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We do that with the Lord, and we fall all out, and the Lord, He don't walk away and say, "One." He said, "I'm gonna keep the pressure on, because you need it. You're just being rebellious, and you want to have your way, and I'm not gonna let you have your way." Lord, help us. So we need that, don't we? That's part of what the Spirit supplies, chastening, and really what it is. Kim was in the store the other day, and she was telling me about how. A child was acting out, and the lady was taking her back to the bathroom to give that child a spanking. And she said, "Well, that's a mother that loves her child." And another little lady, she was saying it to a lady, and she said, "You know what? And that's a lady, that's a mother that's going to help other people love that child as well." Nobody likes bad children. Anybody here like bad children that just won't behave? So what is the supply? We have to give them chastening. We have to give them spanking. We have to give them some discipline in order for them to be good children. That's part of what parenthood is all about. That's part of what mother... Any mother here that haven't given their child a spanking? I'll talk to you after church. We're going to have some problems in the future. All right? But we want to get... Everybody does it. Because that child needs it. And let me tell you what I learned about a child. I didn't know I was going to say all of this, but I learned about children. I'm a father, and I understand they love you after you have disciplined them. It's something about them. They want to just come and walk over on you and kind of lay their head on your shoulder and just let you know. You know what you have to do. You can't just say, "Oh, I'm sorry." You can't say, "I'm sorry." You're not sorry that you whipped them. You give them a little love, a little hug, and you go. Now you go on and play. You just go on and play. We never would embrace our children. "Oh, poor thing. I'm sorry that I had to give you." We never did that. And I don't think that. Now this is some good teaching, isn't it? I don't think that that's necessary. You let them get over the whipping, You let them understand that you deserve every lick that I gave you, and you probably deserve more than that, and I'm not going to be sympathetic to it. And when it all dies down, and maybe an hour later, put them in your lap and hug them and hold them and let them know that you love them. But it's after all of this is gone that they know that Mama and Daddy loves them, and that's why they're chasing me, because they want some good children that not only they love, but everybody else loves them as well. Lord, help us. So the Lord wants good children. And He wants to supply us with the discipline. He says here in this scripture, if need be, you're in heaven and through manifold temptations. So what do? We put responsibility on that child, and we make certain that that child understands the responsibility that they have. We put, now, Dad, Mom, and I've often said the many things that my father did for me, and I think it was wonderful now that I look back on it. While I was in the middle of it, I didn't think it was so wonderful. But He put pressure on us, and He made us be men. Teach us how to be men. And the Lord wants you to know how to be a man, how to be a woman of God. May the Lord help us. And so if need be, if there is a need, He's going to supply that need. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter what the need is. Whatever your need may be, whether, and generally what we think about needs is we think about there's something beneficial that we want, and nobody really wants to get. How many of y'all wanted to get a whipping? Oh, I need a whipping. Mama, I did such and such. And give me a good beating and I won't do it anymore. How many of y'all did that? Raise your hand. Nobody ever volunteered for a good whipping. We tried to get out of it, didn't we? And so in the same way, we're not going to volunteer and say, Lord, put it on me, because I know that I need the discipline. We're going to say, Lord, you give me another chance. Have mercy, Lord. Supply me with mercy. I need mercy, Lord, and give me grace. That won't happen again. I won't go through that again by the grace of God. Lord, if you help me, and the Lord says, you know what you need? You need to be in a trial. So I'm going to put you in this trial. And not only am I going to put you in this trial, but I'm going to supply you with everything that you need while you're in it to be able to come out successfully. Isn't that wonderful? You need the trial. You need the pressure. I need to take you through this pressure test to make certain that you know that you can hold up under it. And not only you're holding up under it, but I'm looking at all the other folks that are looking at you, just like Paul said, that they waxed more confident and they were more bold in his bonds and his affliction. The Lord said, Paul, you need this trial. You need this test. You need this temptation. If need be, you're in heaven as the manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You need it. And Paul, not only do you need it, but those that are looking on need to see you go through this. Saints, we are not islands. We don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. We affect, every one of you affect me in some kind of a way. Folks that I affect you in some kind of a way. And so here's the situation, the terrible situation. I don't quite understand other than I know that there was spirits involved. The man up in Cleveland that had those girls for 10 years. I don't quite understand it. I know. Anyway, we won't go into all that. But you know what? That affects you, and you don't even know the man. You don't know the girls, but you know what? It makes us more protective of our daughters, doesn't it? It makes us more protective. And this man is affecting me, and I don't even know what his name is. The situation that happened in Boston, and the things that are happening all over the world, bombings and whatnot, and all these things, they have an effect on you and I. We don't feel as safe, do we? We don't even know them. So we cannot say that the things that we're going through, that's them over there, and we over here, we're going to do our own thing over here. We can't do that, can we? We're all interconnected in some kind of a way, and we see it, and we have to understand that by the grace of God, we need the Lord to help us. And so what do? My mother used to say it all the time, you're only safe in the arms of Jesus. And so do we get afraid and we live in fear? My daughter's talking about somebody's body. A friend of hers, sister's body, is found just in Hillsboro, small town, right? Who did it? These are people that touch our lives in some kind of a way. And what we need to understand is we need the Lord to help us. Not we need, Lord, supply me with the boldness. Supply me with the power not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. The brother in Sunday school was talking about how the gay and lesbian thing is, first of all, we just want equal rights. And now they're being more aggressive and more on the offense. And that's not affecting us in some kind of a way? Absolutely. It affects our marriages, doesn't it? But you know where it started? It started with everybody deciding that marriage was not important. We'll just get together. We'll just check up. We'll just live together. Lord, help us. It's important. And because right now, what made the wedge is the fact that we didn't give, we didn't sanction it or sanctify it, lift it up, honor it as God has honored it, and it's part of, it's like Christ in the church. And so as a result, everything that is a part of Christ in the church, the devil himself defiles it if he can in any kind of a way. And if he can defile the actual thing, he'll try to defile it in our mind. So how many Christians do you know that are saying that it's okay for a man and a man to marry? It'll never be okay. It'll never be okay. And so what the Lord has to supply us with is an understanding, Lord, of what your word is. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Nature says it. And so what we do, we stand by that by the grace of God. Lord, help us. So we have to know and understand, Lord, supply me with the understanding that when these things come my way, that I have an answer that I can stand against those things, and we're not going to be popular. We're going to get less and less popular being Christians. Being true Christians. So now, there used to be a balance. And I'll just put it this way. Here is what was, this represents what was acceptable. Acceptable. Okay? This is acceptable. Acceptable. This is unacceptable. Unacceptable behavior. Unacceptable behavior. So somewhere was just right. This is the right way to do it, right? I just, for the sake of, I don't have a better, this is the right way of doing it. Now what happens is, over a period of time, what happens is this unacceptable behavior begins to encroach. It begins to encroach on here. And so what we have to do and what becomes acceptable is no longer acceptable. Have you noticed that just you speaking your mind on what is right, what the Bible says, have you noticed how unpopular it has become? And do you know how we have to move in order to be acceptable? We're just going to take this off because, you know, being a Christian, you're just a bigot. Y'all, oh, that's just the way you teach. It's the way the Bible teaches. It is not, you know what I say oftentimes, and I've said it all down through the years of my ministry. You read this Bible, and if I say something that the Bible doesn't say, you have every right to stand and refute it. And this is why I give so many scriptures. And this is why I tell you to bring your own Bible and read along with me. I don't take it out of context. I put it in the context that the scripture has laid it down. That's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to make certain that what I'm doing is right, that the Lord witnesses to it. And so now what we have is the thing that used to be acceptable, it just used to be acceptable for a man and a woman to be married. And now what happens is moving, it's becoming unacceptable, and this is probably not a very good analogy, but now what's happening is the things are moving over, and now in order to be balanced, you've got to be way over here. Because they're wiping off, the general population is wiping off what's acceptable over here. So it's not acceptable for you to do this. It's not acceptable for you to be a bigot on issues, certain issues. You got to be politically correct. And so now balance is way over here in order to keep it balanced. And it's moving toward what's unacceptable. Have you seen that? I'm not just saying it. All right. I'm going to move toward my conclusion. All right. So the Lord will put us through manifold temptations, trial of our faith. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Someone else get James 1:5. Someone else get us Ephesians 5:18.
2 Corinthians 12:9.
Yes. Said unto me, this is Paul speaking again. He says, my grace is sufficient. He'd had a trouble, some trouble. He had some things that he wanted to get through, and wanted the Lord to remove them. The Lord says, what?
My grace.
I will supply you with the grace. I'm not going to remove the trial. I'm not going to remove the problem that's in your life. I'm not going to do that. You need it. You need this. Not only do you need it, but you need it for the folks that are going to live in Dallas, Texas, and are going to read this scripture on May 12th, 2013. Those people need to know that you got the grace. All right? Read.
My strength is made
perfect in weakness. So you have my strength. I supply you with my strength when you have none. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I give you grace, and then I give you strength, my strength.
Yes.
And so when I give you my strength, when you're weak, you can just ask for it. I'll supply it to you, the supply of the Spirit. Lord, I don't have the strength to go on. No, I know you don't. Here's my strength. You take my strength, and you go forward by the grace of God. The Lord will do that for you. How many times have we been in places like that the Lord's done that for us? Lord, I don't have the strength to go on. I don't know what to do. The Lord says, I'll give you the strength to go on. Just keep going. Don't stop. Don't back up. You can go forward by the grace of God. I'll give you the strength to do it. I'll give you my strength. Not just any strength. I'll give you mine. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Next. Yes. All right.
Isaiah 5:20.
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Put darkness for light and light for darkness. Bitter for sweet and sweet. That's what's happening in our society today. And saints, we're becoming less and less popular to have the just the raw, unadulterated truth. And just standing on what the Bible says, you're less popular. You're less popular than we were 20 years ago. Lord, help us. But you know what? We can stand by the grace of God. He'll supply us with what we need to stand. He'll give us the power that we need to stand. All right? What's the next scripture, James? 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom,
let him ask
of God. He'll supply us with wisdom. Sometimes we don't know what to do, do we? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation. So what do? The supply of the Spirit is that He gives us the wisdom, how to apply the knowledge that we have. He gives us the ability to apply that knowledge to the situation. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men. It doesn't say that there's a select few that he gives it to. All men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So he promises. This is a promise. Lord, I need wisdom in order to deal with this situation. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give it to you. But what do we have to do? We have to ask for it. And if we don't ask for it, we don't get it, do we? Lord, help us. And sometimes we've got to ask And the Lord says that you're not in a position to get it. And we've got to get ourselves in a position to get it, don't we? Lord, help us. All right? No, that's good enough. Let's go to Ephesians 5:18.
Be not drunk with wine.
Be not drunk with wine.
Wherein is excess.
Be filled. Filled with the Spirit. That's the supply. You got the supply of the Spirit. You need more of the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. All right? Psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. All right, that's good enough. Ephesians 3:19, I want to get all these scriptures out.
And to know the love of Christ.
Love of Christ.
Which passeth knowledge.
Oh, the supply. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, how full is God? How much does God have? He's got everything. It's infinite. There's no limit to it. And so, saints, what I want to say is when we talk about the supply of the Spirit, then we've got everything that heaven has. It's available to us. It's mine. I want all the fullness of God. Lord, help me to be full. If I don't have it, whose fault is it? It's mine. Because I haven't asked for it. But He said that through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit, I can go through anything. If you don't go through a trial, it ain't God's fault that you didn't go through it. If you fall into a temptation, it's not God's fault that you fail. It's your fault that you didn't get what you didn't get the fullness of God. Lord, help us to be able to fight, to be able to push against these things, and to be able to stand right and true to you in the midst of it all. Lord, help us. All right? Be filled with all fullness. Acts 6:3. And someone get us. I'm just going to touch on this. This deserves... I'm just going to touch on this one. Acts 6:3. I just want to get all those scriptures in. Wherefore, brethren,
look ye out among them
seven men of honest report,
full of the Holy
Full of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's he's talking about they want to get some deacons. He said, full of the Holy Ghost. You know what? We can be full of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have just a little bit, just a little small supply where you, oh, just, you know, have you ever somebody wanted to give you something? Just fill it half full. That's plenty. That's plenty right there. You don't want that when it comes, but when it's something you really want, you just pile it up. I remember one child, they were eating some ice cream, and was it Serena? I don't know who it was. He said, "Mommy, I want, give me too much. So in other words, don't just give me a little bit. Just give me too. Well, you know how you say to a child, "Listen, that's too much. That's too much." Well, that's exactly what they wanted, too much, and didn't quite understand how to decipher it. But he said, "Mommy, give me too much." And so we want it, Lord, give me too much of the Holy Ghost. Give me all that you can. Just pile it up. Like I want this ice cream. Pile it up and give it to me, Lord. All your fullness. I want too much.
Yes.
Don't just settle for a little bit. The Lord has heaven's best for him. I thought, let us think about that. Let us ask the Lord, "Lord, have mercy on us and help me to have all that you have for me." I thought about it like this. Have you ever really gone to the store and there's anything that you need? There's something that you need. And do you know there is a store that has it? Little parts. If you wanted to replace this thing that seems so insignificant on this, somebody sells it. You might not can go and get a part, but you can call the manufacturer and you can get this little part right here that seems so insignificant. And everything that we have here, there's replacement parts, isn't it? There is a supply house that gives you what you need. Now, do you know when you go to the store, what they do at the store? The retailers, they anticipate what the consumers may need, and they supply you with everything. That's how they make their money. And they do surveys. They find out what you need, and all the stuff that you need is available to you. You may not can get it in the store, but we can order it. We can do a special order. We can order it online. You can go online and find anything that you want. Well, that's what it is with the supply of the Spirit. Whatever it is, it's just a little bolt there that'll keep you held together. Lord, I need that. I need that little thing right there. I don't know exactly what it is, but the Lord will supply it to you. By the help and the grace of God, I'm going to go to the last verse, and we'll just talk about it. The 25th chapter of Matthew is talking about the wise virgins and the foolish. And they had the supply available to each one of them, didn't they? The wise, they went to the same place. They were traveling together. Five were wise, five were foolish. And what we have to understand is God has made available to you and me everything that we need. And the only reason that the foolish virgins didn't do it is because they didn't feel like they needed it. And they didn't realize that they needed it until they got to the end. And the supply wasn't there at the end that when they got there and they needed it. Saints, friends, whoever you are, don't be a foolish virgin. Be one that take a little bit of extra oil. Take whatever the supply that you may need. Lord, fill me up. Fill my cup. Let it overflow. Give me exactly what I need. And by the grace of God, I'll be able to make it through all the way to the end. They heard the bridegroom call. They were close. They slumbered and slept right at the door. But they didn't have the supply that they needed. Saints, friends, neighbors, whoever you may be, the Lord has everything you need. You can get it online. You can get it immediately. Lord will help you. May the Lord help me. I desire that you pray for us. I pray for you.